what's going on.
Hello and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast.
Best open
where we
ever.
Simplify the good life. My name is Brock Dennis.
And I'm Aaron Flores, broadcasting out of one ear
from the People's Republic of Portland.
Nestled in the heart of Cascadia. I think it's this cable.
Like, is it?
Because as I move around is...
Yeah, okay. Do you want to swap them out?
With another cable? Number four.
Sure. Yeah. All right, we can start the show over.
If that doesn't end up in the post show, we've done something wrong.
Hello and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we simplify the good life. My name is Brock Dennis.
And I'm Aaron Flores, broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
Covering bicycling, trains and transit, and simpler living. And today, this podcast did not pedal my bicycle or shift its gears. I want my money back.
That's right.
Five stars, sir. Five stars.
We are here with Tim Mooney.
I want my Mooney back. Am I right, guys?
Huh? Hey.
Because he's back. He's right here. Tim Mooney.
And we just determined that I am a five-timer. So.
That's right.
By the way, I'm going to paint the visual picture here for those of you listening.
Before you do, introduce yourself so people know who you are.
I'm Tim Mooney. You may know me from the last four times I've been on the show.
Yes.
Or perhaps if you listen to the Pedal Shift Project.
Perhaps.
I talk about bike touring and all sorts of fun stuff like that.
That's right.
Let me paint the visual picture here since this is an audio medium. The sun is setting behind the West Hills of Portland. The Tillicum Bridge, the bike ped bridge, is off in the distance. We have the windows open. We see Brock and Aaron's Miata parked over here. Shh.
Don't tell anybody.
Not supposed to talk about that. But it's a beautiful Sunday in Portland, Oregon, the day before Leap Day.
Driving with the top down.
That's right.
Driving with the top down in February in Portland, Oregon.
Yep.
Woo!
Yep. That's how we roll around here.
Well, it's good to be back, guys. It's fun to see you. And by the way, once again, for those of you who do listen to my show, I did say I would prove visually whether or not these are two distinct people, because I've never been in the same room as both of these guys.
Right.
Five times on the show.
So here's something
funny. These guys are actual individuals.
I wanted to text Brock, like, because I came to the studio first. I wanted to text you at the studio and be like, hey, get up and go to the bathroom real quick. I'm on my way to Beer Mockers.
Just disappear.
That would be amazing.
As though you had, like, crawled out of me. I am your skin suit.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're my mecca.
Right.
For those of you who need to know why that's funny, go listen to the last crossover episode. I can't remember what it was, but it was awesome.
We're digging deep here.
Yeah, October,
deep
I think.
Deep cuts.
That's right. So, Tim Mooney, thank you for joining us. It's good to see you.
It's always a pleasure, gentlemen.
Welcome back to the land of sunshine and bunnies, although I've seen almost neither one today.
I am seeing sunshine. Yeah. I'm waiting on my first bunny.
There we go.
But it is the land of sunshine and bunnies. By the way, that's a trademarked phrase.
Okay.
No, actually, I did look it up, and I think I put it out on Twitter. Landofsunshineandbunnies.com and .net and all of them, they are available. I came really close to buying one of them.
I was going
to
say, do you want to share that or do you want to buy that?
I'm thinking,
afraid to like just punch those in. Like, I'm afraid of what I might get back.
I was going to buy it and have it go straight to the sprocketpodcast.com.
Oh.
Because...
Not pedalshift.net?
No, because I am not a Portland-based podcast yet.
Oh.
No.
I wish, guys.
Is there some breaking news?
I'm a part-timer. I'm a part-timer here.
Yeah.
I'm a wannabe. I'm a former and a wannabe.
So anybody who has listened to our former episodes with Tim know that Tim used to be a Portland resident back in the day. When Portland meant something. I'm kidding. No, what I mean
is... Back in the dream of the
90s. Yeah, no, it was back when the actual 90s were existing, and the Dandy Warhols were playing shows at Slabtown and all that. Yes. Did you ever see them at Slabtown?
You know, I never did.
Okay.
I was here from 96 to 2000... Well, January 2001.
Yeah.
And I never saw them play live here, but that I remember... But that's a longer story.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So the funny thing is, not funny, but Slabtown, the venue, ended up becoming a chop shop for stolen bicycles
after
it shut down. Like they, sometime last fall, they broke in and like discovered this hoard of stolen merchandise.
Yeah.
Was this the thing that was on Bike Portland? Was it that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's crazy. That was Slabtown, huh?
That was Slabtown, yeah. Which crazy. Was, yeah.
Like
that
some
was,
of the old signage is still out there, right?
I think, yeah.
Like
the building
or whatever?
Still says Slabtown, yeah. Which is a great name. I mean, it's, yeah. I actually never went to the venue, so. Kind of like Satyricon, where Nirvana.
Satyricon was a good venue. Rose, is the Roseland still around?
The Roseland is still around, and it is perpetually shitty. It's the worst place to see a show in Portland.
I saw. Oh, I'm trying to think of it was some relentlessly 90s band. It was
Collective Soul.
It was Collective
Soul. Was it?
No. I swear to God, I'm dead serious. And it was a damn good show.
Yeah. Well, I mean, those guys are all right. Yeah. They had the audacity to release an album in 2008, which had the same title as their release from 1994.
Are you kidding?
Wait,
Collective
really?
Soul. Yeah.
Oh, they did a self-titled.
It was a second eponymous album. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Crazy. Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. You may know them from such hits as
Yep. Heaven let you lunch.
That was like the most reductive you could get for all 90s music was basically in that song.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're right. Yeah.
Like with one guttural.
If you took all of the ingredients of or like all of the bands of the 90s and you made a solution and like boiled that solution down to its concentrate. You
could,
it would be Collective Soul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that one. Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, it's good to have you back, Tim.
It's good to be back. And I'm glad that Collective Soul could give us a shared memory.
I actually liked from that second eponymous release, they had a song called Looking Down, I think, which actually has a bunny on the cover.
Oh,
so
maybe that was a.
And now we've come full circle.
Yeah, yes, we have.
And speaking of the sunshine is like blasting.
Oh, right.
Corny.
Should I?
No.
You're okay with it?
No, it's a crescent over the West Hills. This is such a Portland moment. I love it.
All right. It's as long good. As you're okay with the sun in your eyes.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah.
Aaron, how's that Prius?
Oh, man.
It's black.
I was wondering if we were going to have to talk. We got to talk about it.
It is black.
It is a black Prius.
Right.
Oh, just like all of your clothing. This is your car?
No, it's a borrowed car. It's a borrowed, but I am driving it around.
Okay. Well, Mr. Flores famously does not own a car.
I do not.
Yeah.
It's going to be.
You lease?
I mean, honestly, like I already had to do a bunch of explaining just earlier before I got here.
Yeah.
The fact that like you're driving a car. You're driving a Prius.
Yeah.
Dude, I bike.
It's
here.
Not mine. It's not mine.
Well,
I don't know. I guess.
If it's not yours, whose is it?
So I'm house sitting for a friend.
Oh, yes.
And she was kind enough to say, like, yeah, you can use my car whenever you want.
Oh, nice.
That's great.
And I've been good enough not to use it until yesterday.
That's kind of the mark of self-restraint is knowing when you can drive, but when you don't have to.
Well, yeah, except now that I broke the seal, I don't want to. Like,
oh, right.
You know, well, for example, I could have just as easily biked here, really.
Yeah.
The car got me here faster.
Oh, sure. But,
you know, I don't know.
Right.
I feel like this sense of like inner guilt. Like I'm like ready to like flagellate myself here and like
that's
you know,
okay. That's
do
what
my
we're
mea culpas.
We're okay. Gonna work. We'll do that. Well, it's funny because I was talking to my brother who lives up in Northeast, sort of in the Alberta district. For those of you who know Portland, who are listening,
right?
And I told him, you know, again, I was coming down here, and he said, how long does it take for you to bike down here? Because he's not a huge biking kind of guy, very much drive, you know, typical kind of driving kind of guy.
Yeah.
And I said, it'll take me about a half hour. And he goes, wow, that's crazy, because it would take me about 20 minutes to drive there, and then I'd probably have to look for parking around the beer mongers at Southeast Division and 12.
That's
nice.
Right. Ka-ching.
Ka-ching.
How great is it when your guests do your shilling for you?
Exactly. Yeah.
No, well, also remember my sister-in-law is in the beer industry, so she knows the beer mongers very well.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
But in any event, yeah. So we were having this discussion about, you know, how there are these moments when you talk to somebody who's not into bicycling for transportation, and they sort of see, oh, I get why. You know, this isn't just you being, you know, anti-oil or anything like that. It actually fits into a lifestyle, and
it's quite practical.
Yeah. It's very practical, and I'm like, yeah. Then all I have to do is lock up right outside the studio, and I walk right in, or go to the beer mongers at Southeast Division and 12.
That's right. It's a fine place to get a beverage,
and I got a fine beverage, and it was all good.
Hey, I think I'm pretty sure the only piece of mail that we have relates to the beer mongers. So can we do that now?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
You guys realize I'm getting beer mongers like emails now too.
Are you?
Oh yeah, on my show.
Really?
It's crazy.
At pedalship.net?
At pedalship.net, yeah. And Southeast Division and 12.
So wait, are you saying like the beer mongers are listening to yours?
No, I put out pictures where, you know, oh, I'm in Portland and everybody's like, hey, did you go to the beer mongers at Southeast Division and 12?
Oh, nice.
It's the best place, yeah. Before we go any farther.
We got mail. Hey, we got mail.
I am contractually obligated to say, you're welcome, Sprocket Podcast.
Yes, thank you very much. So, yeah, so Krista Skoukas sent us a little message. And did that photo show up on your side over there? Oh, there it is.
It's down here.
So,
yes.
Willamette Week, it's one of the news weeklies here in Portland, alternative news weeklies. Although, I don't know, how alternative are they anymore?
They published a letter from me in 1996.
There we go. Yeah. They were more alternative.
Oh, no, I'm sorry,
then.
And 2000. Oh. 2000 elections, I think.
I don't. Okay. I mean, yeah. Are they owned by like the Oregonian or anything?
No.
Okay. But,
so
no,
they're at least independent.
I think they've had the same owner since back in the day. If I'm not mistaken.
They're just more like mainstream now. It's like they're no longer like the quirky. It's like it's where people get their news. Yeah. So they release
a
beer guy.
I will say the Mercury seems like they're trying too hard.
Oh, they do. And they're owned by a Seattle holding. So,
They've
always been an imposter, I guess.
I see.
Pull out the drums. We need a new alternative news. Wait, where are we? People of Portland, we need a new alternative weekly.
That's
right. The other ones aren't working for Brock.
Weird isn't working, as they say. The bumper sticker. So the Willamette Week has a beer guide. And for each beer spot that you can go to, and there are many in this town, they have a little blurb written by one of their editors. And so Krista sent us a picture of the one for the Beer Mongers at Southeast Division and 12th. And there's a couple different nice things that they say about this space. But they close it with some surprisingly familiar copy. Aaron, can you read that for us?
The Beer Mongers always feel like you should need a passport to get in. From its drab industrial strip mall exterior, it looks like it should be a malt supply store. But when you poke your head inside, it's a drinker's dream garage. A rough-edged beer cave decorated with soccer flags on every surface that doesn't have a case of rare beer pushed against it.
And here's the clincher.
The bar is always cramped, even more so during barrel-aged beer fests, but somehow it seems like you can always find a seat. I will sue your asses!
Wait, that was trademarked by Aaron Flores.
Aaron came up with that a long time ago. So whoever works for the week and
that was published on the internets a long time ago.
Yeah. This could be our big break financially.
Dude, I'm an inactive member of the Oregon State Bar,
there
and I can write a mean-ass letter.
We would like a strongly worded letter
That's
written,
right,
too.
Yeah.
I'm honored that they thought that we were creative and original enough to merit print in their description of that
place. It's interesting. I wonder,
I'm sorry, what was that word again?
Did you possibly... Interesting.
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Interesting.
Is someone actually listening in, or is that just coincidence?
I mean, we've said it enough that maybe other people are saying it.
You guys are incredibly popular.
Thank you.
That's what I'm saying.
There's always a seat for you at the Beer Mongers.
What's the address again? I always forget.
Southeast Division and 12th.
My memory is now jogged. Thank you.
Thank you for asking. Yeah. Yes. It's a fine place for a beer. And there's always a seat for you there. So anyways, that's our one piece of mail for this week. And I thought I was very intrigued because it's the sort of thing that it could just be a coincidence, but it's a nice coincidence.
It's cool.
I feel validated.
Yeah, I will take it as an homage. I do not feel ripped off whatsoever.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
We all know who came up with that first, Aaron.
That's right.
Honestly, I don't think it was me. I thought it was you, actually.
Oh, I forget.
Oh, I'm pretty sure it was you.
It doesn't matter because you pull the levers inside an automaton rock.
Oh, that's right.
I still don't believe it, just because there's two of you sitting here.
I'm a marionette, actually.
I would really like to believe that was true.
Animatronic. Yes. So, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Yeah, all I have to report on is that I was sick last week and I'm feeling better now.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
I'm feeling happy.
Yeah, and I don't know how much to sink into this whole hocus pocus thing, but I took Echinacea and Golden Seal, and that seems to kind of attack your immune system. Well, not attack your immune system. It bolsters your immune system to attack the virus and things or whatever. Whatever I had, it's going away. So
N equals one. It works for you.
Yes.
It works.
Yes. So yep. I'm very happy about that. That and zinc lozenges. I'm a fan.
I hear things.
Yeah.
I hear things about that.
I don't know, because zinc is supposed to be good for like sunscreen, right? It's supposed to keep the sun and
that
UV rays
correct.
Off your arms,
yes.
Like when you're bicycle touring in the summer or something. But apparently, if you ingest it, it's also good
for your immune system.
Yeah, yeah.
They zinc also used to say that leeches were good. So
that's true.
You know what you hear is not always true.
The jury is out apparently on zinc, but yeah. So anyway, that's all really I have. I didn't have a very interesting week. I don't think I went to work. I came home. That's it. So, Tim Mooney, welcome back to Portland.
Thank you.
Yeah. How's the sun on your face? Are you still feeling good about it?
I don't get a lot of sun.
Okay.
I live in the District of Columbia, where the sun has been outlawed since 1982.
Right.
And except during summers, in which case it's constantly and relentlessly coming down on us.
So, okay. Yeah. Well, if at any point you need me to flip the blinds just a tad.
So, Brock, you know I lived in Portland, Oregon for a time, right?
I do.
And when that shining yellow orb is in the sky.
Whatever the fuck that is.
Yes, exactly. Do we run away in Portland? No, we just sit there and stare at it and marvel at it.
We embrace it.
What is that thing?
Yeah.
I think the population of Portland somewhat increases on sunny days. It just seems like there's way more people out there.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I flew in on Thursday, and it was just one of those glorious kind of days.
Right. Last week was clear.
Oh, it was gorgeous.
As a bell.
You just never get it in February in Portland because, I always say, from about mid-October to mid-May, it's pretty likely it's going to rain every day. Not all day, but it's going to rain every day. And you're getting those glimpses of the sun is just sort of a nice thing. So,
yeah, and not predictably like in the Midwest in the summer. Right. Like you get like on a schedule, whereas here it's just like whenever they feel like precipitating, they do.
Totally. And when you get a day like this, you just got to revel in it. So I'll take it.
Glad to hear it.
It's very burning through my corneas, though.
Hey, what beer are you enjoying right now?
From the Beer Mongers of Southeast Division in 12th, purchased the Breakside Brewery, which is actually in the Northeast. Portland.
Yeah. They're like very close to where you're staying right now.
Very close. Yes. I have heard interesting things about Breakside Brewery, and I've heard that their beer was good.
Yeah.
And I am enjoying it quite a bit. So
excellent. Yes. Glad to hear that. I'm having a Northwest Seasonal Cold Brew Coffee Brown Ale from Two Beers Brewing. So I don't know what their other beer is.
Oh, Two Beers is in Seattle.
Yes.
I was there yesterday.
Were you?
Yes, I was.
Oh.
And I tried their cider yesterday, and it was quite good. Seattle Cider and Two Beers are owned by the same company.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
And they're right next door to each other. And don't bring a small child there like we did. Because that's illegal.
Yeah. No babies in bars in Washington.
Let me give them a shout out because they did a really nice thing.
Yeah.
So we bring, this is my my cousin's kid. So my first cousin once removed, which is a terrible title. But
what does that make the child then? Oh, wait, that's it.
First
once
cousin,
removed.
First cousin once removed, yeah.
Which is
but I've already been told I'm Uncle Tim, so that's cool.
And
so we bring little Kira in there, and we order, my cousin's wife brings her up. They don't realize that we brought in this infant. I mean, she is like right?
Yeah. Not 21.
There, very much not 21. We get it. And to their great credit, they did not know this at all. For those of you who are in the Washington Liquor Association thing that is would make this bad. So we get in there, we have a few drinks, and at some point we start our drinks, and then finally someone notices, oh no, there is an underage child here.
Right.
Like, and when I say underage, I mean this girl was born just like a month and a half ago. Or 2 months ago or whatever.
They're off on the right foot.
Yeah, exactly. So he comes up, and it's the best way I've ever been kicked out of a bar ever.
Really?
This guy is so apologetic because he knows, I mean, this is not, we're not trying to pull one over or whatever, but you know, the law is the law.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I said, hey, can we finish what we have? And he's sort of like, I'm like, we got to go. I understand. And so he goes, what are you guys drinking? And I said, oh, I'm having a cider. My brother was having a beer. My cousin was having this. He goes, give me a second. He runs off and he comes back with two of very nice six packs and a four pack of cider and a $20 gift certificate.
Really?
To the place. Snap.
So, like, sorry you brought your baby here.
Sorry,
you get free stuff.
Yeah. Sorry. You know, like overall, many of us had, I had just finished my drink. Most people were about halfway done, but he was so apologetic and it was such a really nice customer service thing. So, although we were summarily removed from the place immediately once they found out, hello, Washington Liquor Control Authority.
Yeah.
You know, and we didn't know we didn't see any signs or anything like that.
You could be a cop.
You were exactly. Yes. And it was really nice, and it was a really high-end thing. So I highly support this brewery for the way they very kindly said, get the hell out.
Right. Well, and that's the thing, though, is that there are various places in this country, this vast country of ours that we like to ride across on bicycles.
Yes.
There are various levels of law. And like, so say what, you go into what, like Missouri or something, you go to a bar there. And, like, you've got kids, like, running underfoot, chasing dogs with sticks, like, through the bar, and nobody cares.
Right.
It's fine. Whereas
I think I've been to that bar, by the way.
In other places, they're very clearly, like, you can't be here unless you're 21. But then on top of that, there are establishments that are, like, breweries, brew pubs, brew houses, or whatever. And they've got the big tanks full of beer that they're currently brewing. And you can take your whole family
to the public.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's, like, it's all ages because it's a restaurant or whatever. Yeah. And so, like, the difference between a drinking environment as the OLCC calls it, and a family restaurant is, you know, negligible.
And that was what was confusing.
Easy to make the mistake.
Totally. There was a restaurant there, and that was where our mistake was, because we figured it would be okay.
Yeah.
Washington's laws are very similar to Oregon's, which is what I would say draconian would be the word I would
yes.
use. But point being, you know, apparently it was multiple companies that were actually, like, there was a different company that owned the food service and all these other, there were two.
It's like the cider. The combination Pizza Hut and Taco Bell.
KFC, Long John Silver's.
Except possibly way better.
Yeah.
But yes, the analogy rings true, Aaron. Thank you.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's exactly that. Alcohol rules in the United States, they're all – it's what's left over from the Prohibition days.
Yes.
It devolved to the states, and then many of the states have it devolved to the county, because we hear about dry counties, of course, in other places. So it's kind of crazy how alcohol rules vary so much, and you just don't know. I mean, there's not this sort of one-size-fits-all thing, and
right.
it can vary so much depending on community standards. So it's kind of crazy.
But we can all agree that alcohol rules.
I'm a fan. But if it's not your bag, then I'm cool with that too.
Right.
By the
right.
way, how's that Lionheart?
Lionheart.
I was wondering if we were going to get around to it. Part of me was like getting a kick out of the fact that we might just slide through an episode without having to say it.
Good Lord, no.
Lionheart.
Kombucha. I've got the raspberry harvest. It's always good.
Do you get different flavors each time? All I hear is Lionheart, but I rarely.
There's really only two available. It's either the raspberry or the ginger.
Oh,
Ginger Fix with two
ginger
X's.
Ginger Fix, yes.
Which and sounds like a stripper's name.
The Ginger Fix is good, but honestly, like, if I'm gonna get the ginger Lionheart, I'm just gonna go get the Portland Ginger Beer,
right?
Because it's made by the same people. It is a raw kombucha.
It is. Do you remember that time we left one of those here in the studio for like two weeks?
A week or so, yeah.
And I was like, hey, you want to drink this one? Spin around.
Let's try it.
We opened it up.
Did an actual lion come out?
Yes.
A little
mauled
bit.
Us all. Yeah.
Did I taste it on the air? I can't remember.
I don't think so. I forget now.
I would have remembered that.
Yeah. It was bad.
I was like, nope.
It was live. Those cultures were active.
Something in here is not right. It was like, it had a very alkaline taste to it.
I would think so, mainly because the studio is kept at a seasonal 83 degrees.
That's right. Yeah.
We stepped into a sauna. Like I wanted to have my sweatshirt on.
Your weekend sweatshirt.
My weekend sweatshirt.
Oh, your Gladys Spikes?
Yes. Not available to the public. By
oh,
way.
Really? Yeah.
Is that right?
This particular one.
Really?
Yes.
We went to La Bonita, which I recommend for burritos.
Right down the street from
right across the block. Really great burrito place. Yeah. We went there a couple times since I've been here based on my need for burritos. And every time I see Gladys Spikes, I'm like, I love Gladys Spikes. And I've literally never been inside of it.
Because
you always talk about the Saddle Bar and all that.
Yeah.
I love them to death. I think they're great.
Yeah.
They're great.
Oh, yeah.
One of the great bike shops in Portland.
Leah Benson, she's pretty close to joining the Five Timers Club, actually.
Oh, she's
going
to
have
be.
Her back.
Yeah.
Well, then she's welcome, and we can do the Five Timers handshake.
There we go. Exactly.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You're great.
You're great.
A la SNL. Vintage SNL at this point.
Yeah.
That's old.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was that, 89?
Yeah, probably.
Or maybe it's in the 90s.
You could say that you're becoming our Steve Martin.
Oh, that is so nice. That might be the nicest thing anybody's ever said to me. That's amazing. No.
But not our Alec Baldwin.
That's true. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Or any other Baldwin.
Would we count like guest hosts?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Yeah,
because
it's a big tent.
Like people who would fill in for either you or I, because if that's the case, the Five Timers Club is probably a lot bigger than we think.
I think you guys need to figure this out, and I think we need to do a thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, Twitter is good for many things, but particularly for people to go back and do that research for us and tell us who's in the Five Timers Club.
Please.
Or any of the former co-hosts who are listening can actually be like, hey, I've been there five times.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Well, because Steph Ralph would probably be.
Yeah, that's
go back.
By the way, this is becoming the coolest club ever. I'm so glad I'm part of it. Yeah.
Let's congratulate ourselves a few more times. That'd be
seriously
great.
That's amazing.
Patting myself on the back here.
So, Tim, there's a couple of things that you've talked about on your show since last time you were here, and I wanted to ask you which one you were most interested in talking about. Because,
I'm interested in many things.
You've had... Yes, you are. So let's just address this while it's there.
Yes.
Interesting versus interesting.
Yes. I think it's an East Coast thing.
I was going to ask, because it seems like...
you say it.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I say it right and he says it wrong. Right.
Exactly.
All right, everybody.
No, but I've noticed that depending on where someone is from, generally, because I think Adele is from the East Coast and she says interesting.
Does she?
I'm from the West Coast. She says, or I say, interesting. Greg Nibbler from Fun Employment Radio, West Coaster, interesting.
Okay.
Mac OS Ken, also from the Star Trek podcast.
He lives in Buffalo, but he is
from the West Coast.
But he lived in California for a time. Okay. So I don't know what his is.
He says interesting.
Well, then he's wrong.
But he lives on the East Coast.
He hasn't lived in Buffalo long enough. By the way, I grew up not far from Buffalo.
So yes. Right. So you can categorically say he's wrong.
He is absolutely wrong.
But I've noticed, generally, it is an East Coast, West Coast divide.
I think it is. And also, it's just fun to make fun of you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. So as we do that.
Yes.
A couple areas of interest for me.
I grew up in Michigan.
Oh, what do you say?
What do you say?
I'm trying to think. So here's the thing. It's like asking, like, which foot do you start off on, like, as you walk? Is it the left or the right?
The next time I go to walk,
I'm like,
you'll stumble over yourself.
Fuck! What am I going to do? I can't walk anymore. Yeah.
How do you say it?
Well, you say exactly. You say pop and not soda, right?
No, I've generally said soda.
Oh, okay. That's it. See, my mom's from Detroit. I think we've had this discussion. Yes.
It is pop there. Yeah, it is pop there.
Yeah.
I think much of my vocal or vocabulary inflections, I don't know, generally are in protest of whatever the local local established. Because I called it soda because I hated the way pop sounded in Michigan.
That's how I felt too.
Do you want a pop?
Yeah.
You want a pop?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, can I say?
Orange pop?
So you live in the Pacific Northwest where apparently interesting is the way to say it. So if you rebel,
but
you're on team interesting.
I mean,
You're on team three syllables.
I mean, and living in Pittsburgh where they underpronounce their O's.
Oh, my God. I love Pittsburgh accents. They're fantastic.
Wait, what does that mean? So pop?
You're going down south?
Going to south?
Down
yin's,
south?
Oh, yin's, yin's going down
yin's
south.
Yin's going down oh. south?
God bless Pittsburgh. the Great Allegheny Passage Trail ends in Pittsburgh and when I've ended my ride or started my ride there, it's just such a glorious, like, in your face city.
Yeah.
But the people are just the funniest, cool. I've always had a wonderful experience
in
Pittsburgh.
Well, and so, like, you know, that sort of, I mean, it kind of grates on me, and I think that's how I began to overpronounce my O's.
Oh, really?
Because
you have a Canadian influence.
Every now and then the Canadian comes out.
Like
it just did.
Right.
And that was totally not on purpose, by the way.
I grew up within an hour of Niagara Falls, so if I get around Canadians, my friend Jason Kent's from Montreal, so we go to Canada quite a
Jason
bit.
Jason Kent of Sunfields?
Jason Kent of Sunfields, yeah. The theme song to my show, yes.
Wherever great music is found.
Wherever cool music,
Is
available, yes. Right. They've got a new album coming out, and I heard it. We just hung out with them in New York over New Year's, and the new album sounds amazing. So if you have heard anything of Jason's or Sunfield's on my show or through any other ways, the new album is going to blow your doors off. It's amazing.
Nice.
Really good stuff. So
very cool.
Yeah. Oh, anyways, Canadian accent. So yeah. I was back in my one of my former lives. I was doing environmental activism. I was suing polluters. I was the cool.
Good job.
Suing polluters. And so I worked for the Riverkeeper organizations. And there was every year there's a conference, and they brought in all the keepers from all around the world. And so it was held in Toronto. So, good Lord, of course, hey, everybody, how you doing today? So I'm talking with a guy from Windsor, Ontario, which is the city that is south of Detroit, but yet in Canada, which is amazing. And Windsor has the thickest Ontario accent ever. And I'm talking to a guy who works for the UAW for Ford in freaking Windsor, Ontario.
Fine,
and
upstanding gentleman.
He's sitting there drinking Caesar, which is the grossest cocktail ever. It's like it's the clam juice.
Oh, really?
Clamato.
Yeah.
And a beer.
So Budweiser makes a version of that.
Oh, yes, they do.
Gelato, right. They call it. Yeah.
So he's sitting there just knocking them back.
So much clam.
And we're just having this discussion, and I'm having a few drinks myself, not Caesars, of course, but my Canadian accent is just coming out like crazy. So I know what you're speaking about.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. But it takes clam juice. No, not for you.
No. It just means it takes me being in proximity to Canadians.
Or clams.
I love Canadians.
One of the two, yeah.
I may be moving there if the wrong person gets elected, if you know what I mean.
Right.
But we won't go there.
Well, yes. Yeah. So if Bernie's in, you're out.
I'm okay with Bernie.
I can't. I know what you mean.
Yeah. It's that crazy guy with the hair.
Hey, you get to be a... Wait.
You're like, wait, you're going to have to be more specific.
Politics, right?
Yeah. Let's skip it.
So I was going to ask you, what are you most interested in talking about?
Okay, yes. We went on a tangent to a tangent to a tangent.
Right.
We should just spin the wheel.
Right. So here's the wheel.
I'm game for anything.
You're going to talk about your podcast regardless, because we want to make sure that people know that it exists. Although I feel like
we have all of our
listeners and your listeners are probably the same people. But Battleshift.net is where they find you.
Yes.
But Time with the Brompton, you've had one for a little while now.
Yes, I have.
So you got experience with that. Uh-huh. Your tour journals, which are coming up.
Yes.
Your tour journals.
I've got number five coming up soon. Yep.
Yeah. Weight management. You've talked about that on a recent show.
I'm down 10 pounds.
And you're looking svelte.
Thank you.
So
thank you.
That's something I wanted to, if you wanted to talk about it, that's
an
option.
The
40th Bike Centennial, it's coming up.
Yes, that's
exciting,
isn't it?
And Amtrak. Because you and I
nerd out on trains, don't we?
We do.
Yeah.
So spin that wheel and pick whatever you like best.
Aaron, what's your choice? Do you have a choice?
Well,
I'll talk about it.
I would say the thing I know the least about is the 40th Bike Centennial.
And that's probably the least that I know about, but I can talk a little bit about it. I do know that in 1976, right? So we have, it's what I have always considered the modern birth of bicycle touring. And if you haven't listened to my show is Pedal Shift, the Pedal Shift Project, pedalshift.net. We've talked about all this. Okay. So one episode I did recently was talking about what they're going to be doing. The entity that is the Adventure Bicycling Association, which is based out in Montana,
Missoula,
Montana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you are touring doing the Northern Tier or the Lewis and Clark route, you can go there and get your picture taken and get a free ice cream.
Free ice cream and soda. Yeah.
Yeah. Which sounds pretty dope. So, and Missoula, by the way, if you're bicycling anywhere near the city of Missoula, Montana, you need to go. It's one of the great places.
And there's a Flores there.
And there's a Flores there, right?
Well, there's
a few.
Six of them.
Yeah.
Wait, there are Floreses.
Yes.
There's five of them.
Yeah. Anyways, that entity used to be called Bike Centennial.
Right.
In 1976, a lot of people in short shorts decided to go out and bike across the country.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it on what is currently known as the Trans Am, which is, it goes from, let me get this right, from Astoria, Oregon.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, did you notice I said both Astoria and Oregon correctly? There's my bona fide. Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Right? And then it goes to Yorktown, Virginia.
But you did not say Ontario.
Ontario. I haven't had enough Clamato yet.
So the question, just mincing here, but... indulge me.
Yes.
The current Trans Am route goes from, is it Florence, Oregon?
Oh, is it Florence?
Through Eugene. And then the Lewis and Clark route goes from Astoria. But there may be some overlap there. I don't know.
You know, you may be right. I may be mixing these two up because it's funny. I've been very focused on the Lewis and Clark route because I was going to do that 2 years ago.
Oh, right.
And then the Oregon climate shifted dramatically and it was 110 degrees and I decided to do the
Pacific Coast. Hot as hell out there.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I did the Pacific Coast instead, which was a lot better for
much more temperate. Yeah.
For my soul.
Totally.
But I think you were out that summer because you like.
I think so. Wait, 2014?
Yeah.
Yeah. We were in Idaho.
Oh, you crazy son of a bitch.
It was fucked up.
I mean, it was. There's our explicit tag, by the
yes.
way. Finally, it took us how many minutes did it take for us to get that? Good Lord.
No, I said the F word earlier.
Yeah, for us. I mean, I just. But you can have. You and Adele do hills and hot, and I do.
I'm okay with being encrusted in salt at the end of the day.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. When I was looking at like Wenatchee and Tri Cities and stuff like that, and there was like 110 for the next 3 days, I was like, no.
Well,
no,
and for us, it was a matter of just being committed to. Like we had already been out for most of the summer, and by then we're just like, well, I guess we're here. This is what it's going to be like.
And then you just jumped in lakes, and it was all good.
Yeah. So we would have crossed paths that year.
Talked about that briefly because I was like, this is where I'm going to be. But I think you guys were going to be too far south.
But I don't blame you.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad I did that because it was a good bucket list trip. And I think we deviated greatly from the original question about the Bike Centennial. But I will circle back to that.
40 years.
The Pacific route is just such a glorious route. And if you've got the time to do it, I haven't done a cross country yet. And I've run into people on my tours who have, and it feels like that there's a certain element where at a certain point, it feels like it's just a lot of work.
Uh-huh.
You see a lot of things, you meet a lot of great people. The middle of the country is beautiful, way more so than most people know.
Right. I'm still curious about that. Cause I've never done it.
I've heard, my girlfriend is from Oklahoma.
Oh, really?
So I have gone to Oklahoma on way more occasions than I ever thought I ever would in my life.
Yeah.
And I have so we often drive there.
Yeah.
And take a couple of days. Mm-hmm. And so I have seen parts of, you know, what they a lot of people call flyover country. And I have met a lot of people that I probably don't have a ton in common with, but there's always things to connect with. And
right.
You bike through a lot of those places. Oklahoma is not a very bike-friendly place, but they finally – the Adventure Cycling Association has added the Route 66 route, which does through Oklahoma City.
Get your kicks.
Yeah, get your kicks. I'm really intrigued with it. It's a lot of kind of deserty kind of riding, but I think if you're into
that's
that
my favorite kind of riding.
I think you would dig that.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued with it. I'm very intrigued with it.
Totally.
But anyways, back to Bike Centennial.
Right.
So, you know, 40 years ago this year, I was, you know, riding in a – I was 5 years old riding in a bicentennial parade with red, white, and blue streamers in my little Huffy, you know, riding around Fairport, New York.
Nice.
And there were a bunch of people in very short shorts riding across the country. And it looked like there's some really good stuff. And we've been talking about before the show, talking about Russ and Laura and Pathless Pedal. They've got some incredible footage that they've been slowly putting out on Instagram and on their site and whatnot, showing images of this. And it just looks so cool. And I'm really hoping that we get some real celebration that gets put out on YouTube and whatnot so we can see visually a lot about this, because it is, you know, sort of the beginning of what I consider modern bicycle touring, because that route got really ingrained and people kept doing it and doing it. And here we are 40
and
years
still,
later.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I met this cool guy who did that route, and then I ran into him on the Pacific route in 2014. And he's what's his handle? The pedaling Yeti he was back then.
Uh-huh.
Now he's something else. So he's this dude. and it's funny because there was a guy who was listening to my show, listened to my show, must have been following him on Instagram, and then rehooked the two of us up again on Instagram. And I'm just like, social media is just so crazy, because like I run into this guy, Jesse is his name.
Uh-huh.
And I run into this guy, Jesse, and the guys that I was riding with, we did a show on our last night together. I don't know if you guys remember the guy from Belgium, and then the guy who was Norwegian who lived in New York. We did.
I recall you refer to them as the United Nations.
The United Nations delegation, right?
Oh.
And so we were all like, "Oh, who was the most interesting person you ran into on tour?" All of us said Jesse.
Oh, nice.
Peddling Yeti guy,
right?
And you know, he it's just funny. You know, he rode that route and he just had a blast doing it.
That's great.
And you could just get the enthusiasm off of it. So I think that it's a route that's just got so much history behind it, and it's just kind of cool. This, you know, weird niche little thing that we do, bike touring, has a birthday coming up.
Yeah.
And it's middle age. Maybe it's getting a little paunchy in the belly and stuff, but it's still pretty cool. And I'm glad that, you know, Adventure Cycling Association is doing a few things around it. I'm not a big birthday kind of guy.
They put out some shorts there.
It says 40 on the butt. Is 40, that for real?
Yep. 40 years right there.
Just like like a pair of collegiate sweatpants.
Wow.
Yeah.
All three of us are pretty, like, we don't tend to wear a lot of spandex.
That's right. So, Tim, do you ever do spandex? Are you
The closest I ever did, the first tour I did was
those are some pretty cool socks, though.
The socks are actually pretty dope.
Oh, yeah.
I like those. And it's 76? Got the 76 on it.
Which is
kind
of my lucky number in a way.
There you go.
I should get those.
It's the old Bicentennial 76 logo. I like that.
Right,
that's pretty cool. Yeah. So, anyways, the first time I ever rode was 2011, I think it was.
Okay.
And so not terribly long ago, but I did a thing with a group called the Climate Ride.
Yeah.
They're a really great organization. They do group tours, and it's all supported, and all the proceeds go towards environmental causes and anti-global warming stuff, blah, blah, blah. Really good stuff. So they gave us cycling jerseys as a part of it. And, you know, I feel uncomfortable in that stuff. But they all, you know, they wanted for a photo op, they wanted us all to wear it on one days of the ride.
Look like a team. Be a team player.
Yeah. So that's probably the closest that it ever came.
Uh-huh.
And the second closest would be, I used to wear padded bicycling shorts underneath my regular shorts.
Until
I realized that padded shorts actually weren't the things that were keeping me comfortable. It was the lack of sweat in that area.
Yeah.
And so
the hand motion you made was priceless.
Yeah, I wish we could have. Yeah, it was a hooking
down
behind.
Under.
Yes, yes, down there.
Yes.
So the answer is that I tend to wear, if I do wear kind of performance gear, it's kind of like the shirt that I'm wearing right now. It's sort of just like a wicking, like underlayer, like you'd wear backpacks and stuff like that. But I tend to wear what I like to call normal human clothes.
Right.
And like the jeans that I'm wearing right now are actually Levi's cycling jeans. They're
specific. How do you like those?
I really like them. One of my listeners, because I put when I bought the I bought them in New York in January, and I like them. And they've got, if you roll them up on the cup,
yeah,
on the outside, there's a reflective
thing.
Layer,
which is really cool. Yeah.
Very cool.
Reminds me of the Swerve jeans I used to have. I have no idea what happened to those, by the way.
Like
I
your
feel
pair?
Like, yeah.
Are those the ones that you've talked about on the show before?
I talked about them a lot.
Yes.
And then I lost them, I think, about the time I moved. I might have left them at the old house I used to live in, and I just haven't had them. But I have not worn denim since then, so it's, yeah.
These Levi's I would recommend.
Yeah.
They repel water a little bit. They got the reflective thing, and they ride higher in the back.
There you go.
So if you're a cyclist and know that you've been showing your assets off a little
you
bit.
You have plumber tendencies.
Yes. Yeah. If you celebrate the plumbing, you will not be so much in these types of things. So, yeah, right. I actually like these jeans. But this is the most sort of bikey thing that I wear nowadays.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm sort of on team regular clothes. But
sure.
I poke a little fun at the Lycra folks.
Right.
But I don't say, you're doing it wrong, because that's not my
yes.
thing.
Yes, and we all hate that. I think we can all agree that, like, doing it wrong is a thing that we try not to say.
Yeah.
And, I mean, anyone who's a legacy listener, anyone who's listened for several years probably remembers us poking fun at people wearing Lycra, which, again,
I would say we've gotten maybe a little bit better about.
It's easy to do, but yeah.
I mean, I have to be honest, like, some of the Lycra-clad folks sort of, I don't want to say they bring it on themselves, but it's easy to make fun of a little bit,
because
it's like, it's a costume, you know? I
sure.
think we were talking at the Beer Mongers on Southeast Division and 12th.
That's it, yes. It's a fine place. There's always a seat for you.
There's always a seat,
I understand. I will say this, like, to have a matching kit, nothing inherently is wrong with that.
Right.
Right.
But it at least speaks to me that there is a certain level of financial privilege that
sure.
one might have.
To afford a special uniform. Yeah.
To afford a uniform that, to do an activity that, to me anyways, it is an activity that is like the most open-ended, most accepting activity. Like, anyone can ride a bike. Anyone should ride a bike.
You don't need it. That's the key.
And yeah.
And I think that
and so it, yeah. I guess one of the things that gets to me is that it speaks to this level of again, like, financial privilege or ability. And I often wonder if it sends this message to others that, like, if I'm going to do this kind of riding, it has to be in this uniform. And,
yeah.
you know, again, like, I don't know what anybody's motivation is. I'm not a psychic, but...
You're not?
I'm not.
Wonder of wonders.
But if he was, he would have told you what you were about to say.
I will say this. Like, okay, regardless of what I just said, I do like cycling jerseys for the back pockets.
Oh, sure. It's very utilitarian.
And every now and then I'll find a cycling jersey at Goodwill, and I will convince myself I'm going to dye this black.
You've done this.
And I'm going to – and there was only one – I've had like, what, five or six cycling jerseys in my possession, and there was only one successful dye job.
And it was more blue than black.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you dig it, if it's your thing, and also, by the way, if you are on a cycling team and this is your
uniform,
that's
fuck
awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Do it.
That's a thing. Yeah.
I think that it's right though. That, but we all sort of judge books by the cover, even if we try not to.
Oh, totally. I would say to make pretense that you don't. I don't know. You're lying to others and you're lying to yourself.
It's like the people say, I don't see color. I don't see color.
Everyone judges
by
the cover of the book. Yeah. Right. So, but the thing is, I think for me, and probably I would guess for both of you, that the idea is that there's like an exclusionary sort of assumption that, like, hey, I'm wearing special clothes, so I'm a cyclist.
Right.
You're
not. I'm
and
more cyclist.
That's
than
what we're actively
cyclist.
Trying to get away from is the idea that, like, you're again, the idea you're doing it wrong, which is.
And I'll be honest, like, I've probably like sort of put out that vibe to other people.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, I've got my, you know, racks and my bags, and I'm doing it this way.
Yeah.
And, you know,
you love your
I'm
setup.
Kind of, yeah. I love my setups to the point where I'm very vocal about how much I love my setup.
Right.
I often wonder if that does give the impression of others, like, well, if you're not doing it in like skin tight jeans and like loaded down with unnecessary stuff, then you're doing it wrong.
You know? I think this is such a topic for, like, you know, we go on all sorts of podcasts to talk about cycling. You know, it's just there's so many different ways to do it.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, I think that I tend to be I tend to give a big bear hug to everybody who's on a bike. I think every once in a while there's people that I connect with more than others.
Sure.
And the folks that are really kitted up and, you know, are on racing bikes, that's the type of cycling that I do that I connect with the least. But I'm super happy that they're doing it because I like bicycling.
Sure.
And their presence makes good, you know, if they're out on the roads, that's good, you know, and I think that's all a great thing. I do have to say there's this funny website. My brother works for Arsenal Football Club. It's it's a relatively well-known soccer club in London. And so he's really into, like, you know, soccer humor and stuff like that. And there's a website out there called Full Kit Wankers.
Oh, yeah.
.com. and when you talked about full kits, so this
I'm
is
looking this up right now.
Oh, yeah. Pull it up. So it is a website of pictures of people wearing full soccer uniforms down to the cleats and, like, the shorts and everything.
Right.
It'd be sort of like walking out there in a full Blazers uniform, full with the shorts and everything like that, or a full Seattle Seahawks, more like a Seahawks type of thing. It is pretty
12th
awesome.
Man.
Yeah, there you go, full kit wankers.
So this is safe for work?
Usually.
I mean, the term wankers really isn't safe for work.
Yeah. It shows pictures of people walking around in full soccer
check
uniforms.
Out this that's onesie wanker spotted outside Wembley. Oh man.
That is a onesie.
that is a onesie
in fact.
How about that?
But my favorite ones are the people who are wearing full soccer gear, like walking around, like, you know, grocery stores and stuff.
Oh, right.
It's pretty great. It's very
very specific clothing for a specific purpose. It's like walking around in sweatpants.
This guy's at a grocery store.
That's the kind of thing right there.
It seems to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the only way you can say you're doing it wrong is if you don't like the way it feels. Like, if it doesn't serve you well, then you've got some things you can improve. That seems to me to be kind
of
the bottom
line. Are you in pain?
Line.
You might be doing it wrong.
Right.
Yeah. And I think also, you know, I get a lot of people who listen to my show who have never done bike touring at all.
Yeah.
And they listen because it's an aspirational thing, which I think is amazing. And I didn't realize that would be the case when I first started the show.
You kidding?
Yeah.
That's part of why I listen.
Oh, okay. You know? Awesome. Yeah. And that was a surprise to me. I thought it would be all people who are, like, you know, super big time bicycle touring pro types, you know? Those folks, I want to make sure that they know that, you know, you don't have to buy the Ortlieb back rollers and the long haul trucker, although I know you love your long haul trucker. It's awesome.
It is.
It's a great bike, but you don't have to get the uniform. There's not one way to do it.
Right.
But if you want to, I'll use an example of a guy who was all full kitted up. My buddy MJ and I, Mysterious James, if you're listening to my show, you know, you may have heard of this interview. We, on one of our first tours on the Pacific Coast, ran into this guy. This is one of my all-time favorite meets on the road. He's on, you know, this full crab-on bike, you know,
carbon
for all of you, for you out there. Like
it's a
racing
bike.
Yeah, that's a bike sound joke.
It's hilarious.
Full racing kit and you know, with the aero helmet and everything.
Ooh, yeah.
And he's got this one little bag on his handlebar, and he is riding light and fast.
Uh-huh.
And we run into him a few times. We sort of, you know, hopscotch. And we're like, oh, God. Oh,
one
God,
of these
racing
guys.
Guy. Turns out this guy was one of the coolest guys we ever met.
Yeah?
So we end up hooking up with him, and we stay in Fortuna, California. We run into him, and we're like, oh yeah, we're gonna stay at this RV park, because camping around there is a little dodgy at that point. But there's an RV park that is very close to Eel River Brewing Company, which I always recommend. But the three of us could split a car camping spot, and it would be as good as a $5 hiker bike kind of thing. We did that.
Economy of scale.
Yeah, and we're like, yeah, this guy seems all right, even though he's kind of not our speed. You know, we're fully loaded, self-supported.
He dresses funny.
And he's got and we later learn, you know, he was like, yeah, I've been sort of credit card camping. I've been sick for the last couple of days. But, you know, I do have a bivy and everything. So, yeah, I'd love to hang out with you guys.
Okay.
So we have dinner with him. And it turns out this guy is a viola player. And he plays viola for movie soundtracks.
Really?
Including lots of movies that you've heard of, including Titanic.
Fascinating.
And he had all these stories. And we were just like, we just had a great time hanging out with him. And then at the end of dinner, he's like, no, guys, I got this. And he buys, you know, we had drank a lot of beer and ate a lot of food. And he's just, no, seriously, this is on me. And it was a really nice night. And I always think about him when I think of full kit guy, because I'm like, there are a billion cool full kick. Well, maybe not a billion. There are lots of people who wear Lycra who are super cool and they tour. And you know what? He was in his bivy and it was the smallest camping kit I have ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
But he was, you know, he could do it and he did it and he hung out with us. And then he was like, okay, yeah. And I'm just going to bike home from here. Cause he lived, you know, not too far away from there. Well, it was like 120 miles, but for him, that was easy. Yeah. On his carbon bike. Just, and he was just like, no, I'll just turn on the jetpack and I'll be there. But you know,
yeah, so that's a lesson.
It really was, and it's something that I learned very early on. And although, you know, again, I don't connect with a lot of folks who are into the carbon fiber bike and the speed racer types thing.
Yeah.
But I know there's a lot of people that once I start talking to them, I got a lot in common with them.
Totally.
Even though I cannot play the viola.
Yeah. And as a wise man once said, judge not lest ye miss the opportunity to have your beer picked up by someone else.
That's pretty good. This reminds me of something that happened on my way home from work the other day.
Yeah.
And I was coming home, you know, you do the Marine Drive thing, and there's a lot of people who are kitted out for that
performance along the river,
generally in the middle age range, generally a white male, and again, like, I am not gonna make any pretense that I don't judge a book by the cover.
You know, you're doing it
because I did it then and I continue to do it because it's part of the human experience.
Sure.
Anyway, so I get passed by this guy, and he's got like a nice carbon frame. He's got the matching kit and white beard. And so again, like, you know, I've got all these assumptions already in my head of what's going on. And, you know, he passes me and he's like maybe 10 feet in front of me and then slows down and I'm like, what's going on? And so, like, I leapfrog him. I pass him again, or I pass him. And then he passes me and then starts slowing down again. And I'm like, what is he doing? Yeah, what is he doing? And finally, he's like, you can draft me if you want.
Oh, wow.
And so I got up on his bumper and I drafted him all
through
Marine Drive. And then he took this weird turn to get onto 33rd, you know, path back to town.
Back to civilization.
He took this weird, like, what he thought was going to be a shortcut, and I ended up, like, passing him and, like, getting way ahead of him.
Sorry.
And, you know, and he came back, and we leapfrogged, like, the whole way
nice.
Back. And it was just a really cool, like, fun time. That,
right.
Like, you know, for a while, he let me draft him, and so, like, I returned the favor.
Did he draft you?
And, yeah, I mean,
because you have a hell of a draft with the panniers.
I was going to say.
I guess so. Yeah, I was thinking, like, just because from my size, like, I don't think I have much of a draft.
Right,
like,
right. But your rig is huge.
But that is true. Like, yeah, I do, like, push a lot of wind from the front.
Totally.
It's interesting because, you know, the initial experience, if you take it the wrong way and be like, what is this asshole doing?
Right.
Yeah, screw you. Stop trying to race me, dude. Why are you doing that? But he was communicating to you in the language of his style of riding.
Exactly.
Like, we're buddies.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's being open to that and realizing that.
Yeah. And then, you know, he turned off and like, he actually got really far ahead of me, you know, on one of these climbs because, you know, it's a climb.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's riding crab on.
And he's riding crab on.
And so, you know, he turned off and I saw him in his driveway and I like rung my bell and he's like, yeah, right on.
That's fantastic.
Like, yeah.
So we're pro Lycra after all this now.
I guess so. We got to change our stance and I'll cancel that sticker order that I had.
I've got one guy who follows my show and I think he follows your show as well. I think his name is Jim Gibbons and I think he is in Kentucky. I want to say Louisville, Kentucky because he always has some really
cool stuff.
I'm going to Louisville soon.
Oh, Louisville's a great
Jim
time.
And I got to hang out.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he has a different kit every day and he takes a picture of it and always cool stuff up and for the record, African American gentleman. So so it's like, you know, I do have to say that it's like that we have our, I guess I want to say our stereotypes because we see the bulk of people who you know, sort of what Aaron was saying.
Yeah,
you know, that a lot of the
Aaron
folks,
stepped out by the way.
Yeah,
he'll be back in a minute.
Everybody's like, why is he talking like Aaron's not in the room? Because Aaron's not in the room. But you know, there are lots of exceptions to the room, to the rule, and
there are exceptions to the room,
and exceptions to the room. And my big thing is, I'm trying to make sure that when I run into people that I meet them as people.
Well,
first.
It's damn difficult to do, isn't it? Because it's like our presuppositions are strong, and I find that so often. Giving people the benefit of the doubt is really difficult.
It is, and especially these days we're so hard, and we're especially people are their first instinct is to be like, you know, screw you and all this other stuff.
Right. The presupposition that people are bad and they want to hurt you.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I found is there are people like that.
Right.
I mean, there are sociopaths out there.
Sure.
Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, there's also a lot of really cool people. You know, if I had been like, let's not talk to this Lycra dude, James. We would have missed out on a really bunch of cool stories from this guy who played viola for the freaking Titanic movie.
And it's not just about the free beer.
Yeah. By the way, Titanic was a terrible movie, in my opinion. But
the soundtrack.
The viola guy.
The soundtrack
was amazing.
Has stood up.
Cool.
Stands the test of time.
Stands the test
Did he
of time.
Play on the Celine Dion recording, do you know? Or was he just for the soundtrack?
Just for the soundtrack.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know what's funny, yeah. Brock? I think I asked him that question.
Okay.
Said, Did you meet Celine Dion?
He's like, screw that.
He's like,
Her heart is not going on.
Yeah. Eel River Brewing, by the way, if you...
Eel River. So you said Fortuna, California, which is close to what?
Just about maybe a 20-mile ride from the Redwoods, from the Avenue of the Giants.
Okay. Is it close to Fort Bragg?
It is... No.
No.
It is quite a ways from Fort Bragg. It's much closer to Eureka.
Oh, okay. Eureka.
So south of Eureka.
Yeah.
Between Eureka and the Avenue of the Giants.
Okay.
And if you ever get a chance to ride in that area of California, it is glorious.
So
and
not the Lost Coast.
It's actually very close to the turnoff on the north end of the Lost Coast.
Okay, right.
Very close.
Before you leave civilization.
One town north. Yes, exactly.
Okay. Because you've got the college of the Redwoods, and then isn't there like
you
the community
that.
College
yep.
near the Redwoods?
Yes. That college is actually north of Fortuna.
Okay.
And I know this really well because I had to ride backwards one year because I ran out of time to get to San Francisco. I think
back.
It was actually on this ride, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
And so I rode back and forth a few times throughout all of this. And I also got to know there's a bus route as well. So let's you know, we can transition to our transit nerddom.
Right.
So I was trying to find ways to...
Transit.
Oh, well done. Yes. Oh, by the way, I liked your bells on the last episode.
Oh, thank you.
Is this
you.
The exact opposite of the nerdy wonky episode?
I guess time? So.
It feels like it. it was awesome.
We're not talking about policy. We're talking
exactly.
about it's another kind of geekery.
I don't believe I've used one acronym on this show.
That's true. Yeah.
Anyways, so I was looking on because I had a signal on my iPhone. I was able to pull down the transit schedule.
Yeah.
And I knew that I cannot remember what transit agency it is, but they had bike racks on the front. So I was able to get rides where I wanted to go if I wanted to kind of take a fast forward.
Sure.
And it was really helpful in that area.
And I would imagine make your schedule work, right? Because you're trying to, like, you can't get to San Francisco as you planned. So you have to kind of tie something else together.
Exactly. And one of the stops, the reason why I talk about this, one of the stops was that community college.
So, oh, okay. Yeah. There we go. Yeah.
I was actually trying to be sneaky about it. Like,
We won't let
hey,
you
everybody,
do that.
Guess who's going to the bathroom?
Maybe I could go and come back and, like, no one would notice.
Right.
Most professional bicycling podcast so in Portland, Oregon.
We spun the Mooney wheel.
Yes. Okay.
We talked about one of the topics, and we talked about a bunch of other things that weren't on the wheel.
Yes.
If you want to hear about anything else that we had planned, we might talk about the Pedal Shift project.
Yes.
Pedalshift.net.
Pedalshift.net will be on Thursday of as the week we record this,
Great.
It will be coming episode 44 of the Pedal Shift product, pedalshift.net/044.
That's a lot of consonants to wrap your tongue around.
And I've had a lot of beer, and I can still do it. I'm a professional, sir.
I'm proud of you. Well done.
Thank you.
Well, do you have time to hang out with us for our Mail and News?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So we have a couple different genres of news.
I see this. This is really good.
I hope. We'll see. So anyways...
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. It circles around the city lights.
Pedal just fast, we get into the morning light. Pedal just fast, we get.
All right, so first up, we got some calendar.
Tons of stuff on the calendar.
Yeah, events.
All things I'm missing.
Public process hearings recommended by Chris Smith. Listen to episode 285 for details.
That's right.
Which I can listen to since I'm not on it.
Yeah, thanks again to Steph Roth for stepping as a co-host.
Yeah, that's so great. I'm going to bake you something.
That's right. The Planning and Sustainability Commission has a hearing on the transportation SP.
I was like, I really hope he knows what these acronyms are.
Which we talked about last week about how your voice makes a difference in the public process.
Never mind. Something plan. Transit something plan.
Transit system plan? Sounds Maybe. Like I think that's pretty much it. Chris Smith is going to hate me for this. I apologize. acronyms don't always stick well with me. But, if you can switch back to the notes here for just a minute.
I need to look at those.
So I can read off of them. There's two hearings, one at 12:30 p.m. on Tuesday, March 8th, and one in the evening at 5 p.m. March 22nd. So if you can't make either one of those, you can also submit written proposals, but it's something that you ought to do. And then the comprehensive plan, hearing on amendments at City Hall, the council chambers, April 14th, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Sorry. So, those are all things that we talked about last episode, and these are things that if you're able to submit your voice, please do.
Also, on March 4th, if you're here in town, Lumberjack is playing at the old Gilbert Road Tavern.
That's my band. So nice of you to mention it.
If I were in town on March 4th, I would totally go to see Lumberjack.
You should go see him.
Well, yeah. Regardless, may the 4th be with you. But
Or March the 4th.
Yes.
If you show up on May the 4th, you will be very disappointed.
You will be late.
That's true. Yeah, yeah. So it's a good, it'll be a fun time.
Yeah.
It's free.
Yeah. Well,
you can't say that about everything.
April 5th at 7 p.m. Humanity on Wheels 3 from Kick-Ass Oregon History and TriMet Diaries at the Jack London Bar,
including music by Dr. Something, for such songs as Beaverton TC.
They're not a real doctor, but they are a real something.
That's right.
I miss so much not being in this town.
So with that,
if you live in Portland and you're not going to these things, go there for me, please.
That's right. So, from the calendar, too, some old bullshit news. And we don't have a lot of time, so very briefly summarize.
City wants taxpayers to finance a $26 million garage. That's what I'm saying.
What the fuck?
Yes, a $26 million hotel parking garage next to light rail.
It stands to make a shit ton of money.
It stands to make a shit ton of money for someone else.
For someone else that will not benefit the public.
No.
But they want the public to pay for it.
But they want the public to pay for it.
Is that the basic thrust of this article?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's on the real estate beat.
Well, the city claims it's going to make a lot of money for them, but the actual numbers don't pan out. And the numbers are right there in the article.
Right.
For the record, the Pedal Shift Project opposes this plan.
It's good to hear. Good to hear.
We oppose.
Yeah. So that, it's a damn shame. I certainly hope that there's something. But it sounds like the wheels of progress are going to happen regardless. They've been greased already. So,
you know, I don't know. Yeah. Is there
maybe the
Pedal
Shift Project removes its objection. or maybe it supports it.
Well, don't stand in front of it like in protest. Don't get hurt. But
we probably don't like it.
Okay.
We probably oppose it.
Remains to be seen.
And when I say we, I mean me.
Okay. The royal we.
The royal we.
Yeah. So this is fascinating. Thank you, Bike Portland, for bringing it to our attention.
Yep.
That concludes some old bullshit news. I swear we're going to have a sounder for that.
It just bugs me that, the city's going forward with this. And
right.
The people who are profiting off this don't really give a shit.
And it sucks because municipal entities have never been accused of somehow being in the pocket of some sort of development deal before.
And yet... Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Development is complicated. Development is complicated.
Right.
It is.
And it would be neat if it was less complicated.
It would. Yeah. It would.
Next up, some good news. Montana State Parks.
Yes, this is something that Tim sent us, and we don't have a copy here. So.
Yeah. Four Montana State Parks are actually building specific bicycle group camping spots as early for, I believe, the spring and should be ready for the summer. So if you are bicycle touring, I believe from between Missoula and Whitefish. Yes, I believe there are four state parks sort of in that swath, which is a very big bicycle touring area.
Well, Whitefish is where the train station.
There's an Amtrak
where
stop
the Amtrak
there.
Train so station could, is. Yes,
I mean, even if you only wanted to do a couple days, you could take the train to Whitefish. And
totally,
then camp all the way down.
And it's going to be a similar deal, I believe, for the camping rates. It's going to be nice and cheap. And it sounds like they're going to be doing some cool things. There's going to be like you could plug your phone in. There's going to be charging stations.
Yeah.
It's going to be like kind of like a more modern take on this.
Because bicycle tourists famously like to use a lot of gadgets.
Yeah.
Generally,
yeah.
It's more and more the case that people have their phones with them. They want to, you know, get electricity at the end of the day, and they're accommodating.
Yeah,
so.
Me included. And I think that's really cool. I know that the state of Oregon has done some things with charging stations, solar charging stations at some of the ones on the Oregon coast. So that's the kind of newfangled thing that's happening.
Nice.
It's exciting to see that states that don't have kind of universally great camping for bicycles are starting to do that. So yay,
totally.
Montana.
Yeah. And as far as I remember, in my journeys through Montana over the past several years, I don't recall dedicated bicycle camping facilities. Like, there's state parks you can get a site. One of our favorites might have been in Idaho.
Your favorite Montana camping site is in Idaho?
It was in Idaho, yeah. I think it was right on the border.
Worst Montana site ever.
We were popping out on a reservoir above some dam, and I think it might have been the day before we went into Idaho. I think it was Montana. Anyways, it was a Forest Service campground, so it doesn't really matter for state parks.
They do this the dispersed camping in forest.
They can.
Right,
we found a rare free site where basically there's no utilities. It's a pit toilet, no pump, or
no
we had to purify our own water, all that stuff. There were mosquitoes everywhere. But it was a
campsite ever.
I know, but it was free.
Yeah.
So,
free is free.
Free is free, yeah.
But there are very few places to get cheap camping. Like, usually if you end up, I think the only other place I can remember is it was a private campground that had like a hiker-biker access. So one of the cool things is we did not go past Flathead Lake, which I am aware that Flathead is somewhat pejorative name for the indigenous people who prefer a different name, but it's been codified onto the map, sadly. But that state park is building one of these hiker-biker access places.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Super cool. So it's a great opportunity, especially Montana is a fantastic place. Missoula,
especially that part, yep.
As we already mentioned, great place. Get your free ice cream. If I lived in Missoula, I'd be there every day. They'd kick me out, I'm sure. But
go away, Brock.
I know.
You live here.
I rode my bike down.
Idaho, one of the two.
I rode here from Oregon one time. So anyways, among those four, there's a lot of places to go. So,
yeah,
Montana, good place. Explore it. Sustainable Joes. This is cool. We talked to Stephen Suches from Sustainable Joes Project. He's working on a documentary right now about kind of broader sustainability concerns. And he did have that thing where he rode an elf from Organic Transit, the three-wheeled trike with the enclosure. And he's got this great little post about how to create less waste in 2016. Four great steps. It's worth a full read. But just to summarize, if you're interested in producing less waste, number one, ask the question, how will I dispose of this? Number two, reduce food waste and compost your food scraps if you can. He talked about keeping his compost scraps in the freezer to keep them from
Anna
smelling
does
bad.
That.
Yeah?
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
Yeah, she prefers, for that reason, so it doesn't smell.
Right.
Very smart.
Yeah, and then he runs them down to a community garden. Number three, have a reusable bag that you use for everything, which could be your bicycle pannier. And number four, give it some moral weight. You know, think about it as more than just like, it's not just a challenge. It's like, this could make people's lives better if we make less waste.
Right.
So, great post. Anyways, so that's it. We've already done our mail. So this just
this
about concludes this Rocket Podcast. Episode 286.
I have done homework for what is the next question.
I was waiting.
I have five possible. Okay, so for those of you who are new listeners to the Sprocket Podcast, welcome. At this stage is a new in Sprocket Podcast history where they asked you to do the closing credits in the theme of various styles.
Yes.
I have five.
Five.
I want you to choose one of them, and I would encourage anyone who likes any of these in future episodes to steal them.
Okay.
Number one, reluctant and or angry presidential candidate.
Ooh.
That's a good one. Number two, Beavis and Butthead, which would be awesome. Number three, this one's a good one.
Shut up,
overly
Beavis.
Enthusiastic carnival barker.
Ooh.
Number four, this is a character that I have created because I've been forced to go to six Garth Brooks concerts. Hi, Kimberly. Hit Jackson, my fictional country music star, just trying to have a good time, not taking life too serious. Or the last one, number five, unexpected and timely because they're tonight, unexpected Oscar winner thank you speech.
It's hard to say.
Which one would you guys like to do?
I'm going between the fictional country singer and the Oscar winner.
Let's do fictional country singer.
Okay
Hit Jackson is just trying to have a good time, not trying to take life too serious.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, I got the music here, don't I?
I almost kind of went into Matthew McConaughey right there.
It's easy to do.
All right.
Our website is thesprocketpodcast.com.
Email to thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com.
Call or text to 503-847-9774.
Twitter @SprocketPodcast.
Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music.
Herb Bird for our headline sounder.
Marcus Norman for graphic design.
And thanks to sustaining donors Logan Smith, Johnny Kay, Shadowfoot,
Katharina Mellumgard, Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson,
Ethan Georgie, Justin Martin, Eric Iverson,
Cameron Lean, Richard Wazensky, hey Tim Mooney,
yeehaw,
Orange and Purple, Glenn Kubish, Matt Kelly,
Jim Gooden, Eric Weiss, Doug Cohen Miller,
Todd Parker, Scott McAllister Morgan, and Chris Gonzalez,
Dan Gebhardt, Zoe Campagna, Andy Brunner,
Dave Knows, Chris Smith, Christy Kaster,
Caleb Jenkinson, JP Cooley, Peanut Butter Jar Matt,
Patrick R. Chang, Gabriel Trainer, Sebastian
Marco
Poole,
Lowe, Rich Otterstrom, Andrew Alderson,
Drew the Welder, Anna, Christus Kukis,
John Wasserman, Andre Johnson, Shelley and Troy,
King of Division, Josh Zissen, and Richard Z,
and Guthrie Straw.
Now go on and brush your teeth.
Go to bed.
Y'all have a good night.
Well done. Wait, what was the character's name again?
Hit Jackson. Yeah. I have a whole thing with it. So, Hit Jackson is hit with... by the way.
Okay.
It's not his given name, but my grandma. My grandmama said that I was going to be a real star. So she started calling me Hit back in the day, and now I don't let anybody call me anything but Hit Jackson. And then anytime anybody asks if it's stressful, but look, I'm just trying to have a good time. I'm not trying to take life too serious. And so I started doing this, and my girlfriend's like, oh my God, that's exactly like what some of these people sound like.